Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Sahasranam, name 990, is Srashta, which means the creator. This name has already come in Vishnu Sahasranam, came in verse 63, name 595, according to the numbering system of Parashara Bhatta. So there'll be some overlap, and maybe some things I said previously I won't say this time, and maybe some things I'll say this time I wouldn't have said previously, but it's okay. Layang tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yaj chinvatang rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. We can hear again and again and feel more and more rasa, more bliss, not becoming tired of that. We might think, well, how much rasa is there in the name creator? Maybe Devikinandan sounded a bit better. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is an acharya in the Gaurīya Sampradaya, whose contributions to rasa jnana, knowledge of rasa, are comparable maybe only to those of Rupa Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says that we should first be interested in the Srishti Leela. We should first very carefully understand this, which is same Shukadev, same Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matas Sarvang Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Maang Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Krishna himself says that, well, I'm the creator. Everything comes from me. Knowing this, the intelligent persons worship me with feeling. So it's all Krishna's pastimes. And we can see Krishna as the creator. Srijati iti shashta. Vishnu means he who creates. He creates the material realm. The spiritual realm remains forever. But he creates the material realm with all the living beings, all the bodies, everything, what we call nature, the atheistic evolutionists, I guess they're called. They say wonderfully designed by nature. They always talk about design, but they don't want to recognize there's a designer. Everything from the microcosm to the macrocosm. The very smallest thing to the very great. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. So he created it all. The Christians, I guess the Muslims, they know God as the creator and not much else. That's about it. He made the world for us to enjoy. Thanks a lot, God. See you later. Make a good place for us up there. But they're very concerned about the condition in this world. I wonder, if they're thinking that they're going to go to heaven forever, why do they have mourning at funerals? When they have big mourning, saying, oh great, he's gone to enjoy himself with God forever. Well, not with God. I know what. They don't have a clear conception at all. I several times told one of the archbishops of Canterbury, they die quite often because they usually appoint an old man to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. I guess it goes by the age system or the seniority system. and they're number one Protestant in the whole of the world. Not on the same status as the Pope, but doing pretty good, had a pretty good career, made it to the top. So one of them was asked, "Oh, what do you do when you go to heaven?" He said, "I'll spend the first 100 years glorifying God and the rest of eternity enjoying myself." You know, they want the kingdom of God without God. They don't know Devaki Nandan. So why does Bhishma, you think he's gone through all these names and he's come to Devaki Nandan, and that should maybe be the end, right? This is it, here he is. Well, it's a warning, don't only think of him as Devaki Nandan. Don't just think, well, I was born of Kunti and he's born of Devaki, and Duryodhana was born from Gandhari, and the dogs running around are born from some mother also, so what? No, we have to be a little careful when we go up, up, up into the realm of rasa, but it's good sometimes to remember, as do the gopis themselves, nakalu gopika nandano bhavan akala dehinam antaratma drik. They address Krishna, who's not personally there, but they address him as if he is there, that you're not only the beloved of Yashoda. I didn't say that yesterday. Gopika Nandan here, lift your beads up. The beloved of Yashoda. But you are the indwelling supersoul within the heart of every living being. Parasha Bhatta re-emphasizes a point he made in his commentary on the previous occurrence of this name in Vishnu Sahasranam, that Bhishma is emphasizing to Yudhishthira that Devaki Nandan, Sri Krishna, is none other than what they say in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Paravasudev, the original form up there. And up from up there, he is responsible for the creation, or he creates the creation down here. We are responsible for this world. Why is this world here? Because we wanted it. So, Parasha Bharata makes the point that through these names, Bhishma is emphasizing Bhagavan's solabhya and soshilya. He is very easily available and very good. Everything about him is good. God is good. God is great. God is good. So, by saying the name Shrashta, Bhishma is emphasizing that he who is the creator, and we're just little, tiny little beings within the creation, but he's made himself available to us. Solabhya, his accessibility, easy accessibility. And that also shows his soshilya, that is one of his great qualities, that he's not just available, but he is he's not just sitting on a big throne and chucking thunderbolts down at people, but he interacts with his devotees in a very pleasing way. Shankaracharya, Shrashta Sarvalokasya. The purport is clear. Bhagavan is called Shrashta because he is the creator of all the worlds. What is the benefit of understanding the name? Well, already we had Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 8. Knowing this, intelligent people worship me with all their hearts. We also have, from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 4, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, of course Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 4 deals with the material energy, the eight constituents of the material energy. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada states, material nature is called Prakriti, or the energy of the Lord, in his different Purusha incarnations, expansions, as described in the Satvata Tantra. Vishnos tu trini rupani purushakhyanyato viduhu ekang tu mahata shrashtri. Got that word? Shrashtri is an alpha form of shrashta. Dvitiyang tvanda sangstitam tritiyang sarvabhutastam tani gyatva vimuchyate. For material creation, Lord Krishna's, actually says Vishnu in the verse, but Lord Krishna's plenary expansion assumes three Vishnus, three forms. The first one, Mahavishnu, creates the total material energy known as the Mahatattva. The second, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, enters into all the universes to create diversities in each of them. The third, Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, is diffused as the all-pervading supersoul in all the universes and is known as Paramatma. He is present even within the atoms. Anyone who knows these three Vishnus can be liberated from material entanglement. So that's the benefit of understanding the name Shrashta. We can be liberated from material entanglement. We say, well, I don't want material, I don't want liberation, I want prema. But you have to get liberated. To get liberated is not such a small thing. We are held back on a quest for love of Krishna by our material entanglement, by our material attachments and misconceptions. So if we understand Krishna as the creator, then we can be liberated. Understanding him as the creator presupposes that we also understand him as the maintainer and the destroyer. This material realm is created and annihilated again and again. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. The spiritual realm always remains. It's neither created nor destroyed. So in Bhagavad Gita we get Krishna's telling us, hey, it's a lot better up there. Parastas matu bhava no vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarvani bhutani nashatsu navinashati. Beyond this material realm, which is again and again created, again and again destroyed, there is the spiritual world where nothing is ever created or destroyed. Now, this name Shrashta, within Bhagavatam and elsewhere, often refers to Brahma. He's also a creator. He's a sub-creator. He creates inside the Brahmanda, and the Brahmanda itself, the universal egg. There's a theory in modern science of multiverses. That's to get around the problem of how did the Big Bang happen and everything fall into place. They made a theory of multiverse. Well, if there are enough universes, it could have happened. Of course, then you have to have numerous Big Bangs, and it doesn't become a singularity anymore. But I think they forgot about that somewhere along the way. Anyway, multiverse theory is not mainstream. They're trying to work out something to get around all the problems being raised by intelligent design theory. But that is accepted in the Vedic Puranic version. It's already there. There are many universes. Therefore, they call it a multiverse. Universe is the idea is only one, but we have universe and multiverse because there are many individual universes. So the creator of each Brahmanda, with each Brahma inside, egg-like shape, this shape is given. It's not exactly round, it's egg-like. So the creator of the Brahmanda with Brahma inside, with all the ingredients for creation, plus the intelligence and the ability to create, and the knowledge to do so, is given by Vishnu. And he's within the heart of Brahma, so he helps him along the way as he goes along with it. So really, Vishnu is the creator. Brahma does the job. Just like, for instance, there may be some construction company. The most prestigious in India is Larsen & Toubro. They're also cheaters, but anyway. They're the most prestigious somehow. They're not Indian names. Larsen doesn't sound like it. Toubro's not an English name. Larsen sounds like a Danish name or something. Anyway.
It was formed by some Europeans.
I never heard it in the West, but it's the biggest construction company. So we may say such and such a building was, or whatever it is, not just buildings. It was built by Larsen & Toubro. So the on-site, the architect and the on-site contractor, and there'll be a whole team, actually. So there's a whole team, just like we have a whole team of demigods, but the ultimate credit goes to the company. So this is built by Larsen & Toubro. So it's an analogy. Someone may come on and said, oh, I built that building. Yeah, okay, all right. You did it on behalf of the company. Brahma is often referred to as Shrashta. In Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 44, everything is put into proper perspective. Maitreya Uvacha, Tasma Evang Jagat Shrashtre Pradhana Purusheshvaraha Vyajyedang Svena Rupena Kanja Nabhastiro Dade. So we have the words here, Jagat Shrashta, the creator of the universe, that's Brahma, and Narayana as Pradhana Purusheshvara. He is the person who is the controller of the original materials that Brahma works with. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse, the sage Maitreya said, after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe, to expand the creation, the primeval Lord, the personality of Godhead in his personal form as Narayana, disappeared. Vishnu Purana, quoted in Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, text 40, purport, Yo yang tavagato deva samipang devata ganaha satvam eva jagat srashta yata sarvagato bhavan. Whoever comes before you, even he be a demigod, is created by you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is referring to Vishnu as the creator, again from the third canto of Bhagavatam. Evang Raja Pluta Shrashta Kalpa Dishvatma Bhur Harihi Srijatya Moga Sankalpa Atmai Vatmanam Atmana. The creator, Brahma, referred to here as Atmabhu, another Vishnu Sahasranam name, which also refers to Brahma. He is the incarnation of the mode of passion. which is also everything is generated from Krishna. He creates the universal affairs with unfailing desires in every millennium by the force of the Lord's energy. Canto 10, Jambavan speaking to Krishna after realizing that Krishna is none other than his worshipable Rama. Tvam hi Vishva Srijam Shrashta Shrishtanam api Shrishtanam api yach chasat. You are the ultimate creator of all the creators of the universe. You're the creator of the creator. And of everything you are that is created, you are the underlying substance. So this creative impulse is manifested in this perverse reflection called the material world as in the mode of passion, kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava. This from the mode of passion, rajoguna, comes this lust which gives rise to creation. Sex gives rise to creation. And this whole creative impulse, some art, I want to create some art, or some music, or build a building, build a civilization, make a philosophy, show yourself, do something, don't just sit around. Here we are, sitting around in Silicon Valley, the home of Google and what else? Apple. Amazon? No. Where's Amazon? So Seattle. Seattle is the home of Microsoft and Amazon. And here we have Google, Facebook, YouTube, they're all under one. Is it Meta it's called or something? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the idea is that we have a lot of creative people here. And they changed. When I was last here in this area, the motto for Google was think outside the box. But they're all in Maya's box. if you really, the idea is to think outside the box. To think of something different, because they always have to create something new, be innovative. Steve Jobs had all these brilliant ideas and he made all these brilliant new inventions, and then he died. Well, it happens to everyone. But he has made his mark on the world, and he will be remembered for some time, and then forgotten. And even if he is remembered, what does it help him now? Wherever he may be, in his sojourn within 8,400,000 species of life. But this creative impulse has given rise to this technology. Make something new, make something different. Think of something. And if you see the Industrial Revolution and then the technology and science, it's part of Kali Yuga. Krishna impels people within their minds to invent different things, to think of different things. Because this whole thing going on, what's going on in the modern world, it couldn't have happened if there hadn't been so many discoveries, beginning with Newton, and even things like this. There's all this quantum theory, and even though they don't know really what's going on, but they know enough of what's going on to use the quantum theory in making things. And then all the different laws, so the laws of thermodynamics, laws of motion, and then putting technology means to put practical use to the laws of science, and then you can make the locomotive. That was a major step forward in the Industrial Revolution. That was practically the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. The steam locomotive went something 12 miles from Manchester to Liverpool at the speed of 15 miles an hour or something. The motor car, the automobile, a great invention, solving the pollution problem in the cities. There's the problem of horse manure in the cities, making the cities stink. So solve the pollution problem with motor cars, and And one thing builds on another. That is how science and technology progresses. But it's the inspiration within the mind from Krishna. He's the ultimate creator. And one thing follows after another. And then what happens is at some point some people become more intelligent. Not many. It took Prabhupada to point it out, and still most of his followers haven't heard it. That actually you don't need all these things. All you need is a little land. You need food, water, air, light, some clothing, some shelter. You don't need all these things. What you really need to do is get free from this illusion of thinking we're making progress. Live simply and chant Hare Krishna. Most of Prabhupada's followers didn't hear this yet. They read it, they may talk about it, but they didn't get it yet. They're waiting for everyone to destruct themselves. They've been waiting for the last 50 years since I've been in this movement. Waiting for, and then we'll do it. And then when there was the COVID lockdowns, then they say, oh, Prabhupada's right, it's time to grow our own food. And lockdowns are finished, and okay, let's get on with life and push forward the feminism and become progressive. That's the really important thing. What this movement really needs is female Diksha gurus. That will solve all our problems. Srila Prabhupada in Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text 35, purport to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why I'm not wanted in your center, right? In case I say things like that. The so-called scientists of the modern materialistic world, let's say that again, the so-called scientists of the modern materialistic world are proud because they have created modern facilities like great airplanes. But the credit for creating the airplane should go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the scientists who have invented or created the so-called wonderful products. I was just going through Dhananjay, one godbrother of mine. He was speaking to Srila Prabhupada in England about Rome. He opened the first center in Rome with he and his wife, first ISKCON center. And Srila Prabhupada was asking him, and he says, it's not far away, it's just about 2 hours by flight. It's still 2 hours by flight. That was 50 years ago. So I mentioned that to Rishikesh Prabhu, who has a background in aeronautic engineering. And he said that, and I also asked him at one point, why is India, they didn't design and create their own planes, but they have atom bombs, but they don't have their own plane. Now they're going to build with French technology. That's the idea. By saying that it's highly sophisticated aeronautical engineering, and he could explain it better, but if you're going to adjust something, you have to adjust everything so finely and
they actually made a plane, but the main thing is engine. That's the thing they have not been able to
do. They made very fast planes, this Concorde, which fly New York to London is 5 and a bit hours, and that went in about 1.5 hours. And I remember they were researching making this Concorde plane when I was a kid, and then they would complain they always break all the windows because they goes faster than the speed of sound and breaks all the windows everywhere. But for whatever reason, they didn't find that commercially viable. Maybe pretty hard on the body also, as being so fast, isn't it? There's that G-force or something.
Yeah, that's there, but that's not...
That's not the main thing. They don't go so...
They gradually transition to...
I see. It's not like in the fighter planes, which they wiggle and wobble and go here and there. So anyway, it's highly advanced, you can say, and very sensitive technology, which it's not so easy to update it. even after all these years. And we used to hear about with, what was that, superconductors, that they'd be able to fly from Singapore to London in 1.5 hours or something. That was the hope, but it never happened. That was going to be a great breakthrough in science, superconductivity, but it never happened. Everyone was very confident of this. Anyway, some people, they spend their whole life researching something, and at the end of life, it's all refuted that it's not going to happen. Yeah. And the whole theory is just refuted. This string theory is going, and the string theory is going to solve all the cosmological mysteries. But most scientists say it's just something that, what's his name, that Japanese guy, he's still in his old age spouting it, Michio Kaku, something like, he's still talking about it. Most physicists don't take it seriously because it's non-falsifiable, non-demonstrable, and there are problems with it also. It solves so many problems with trying to join relativity and quantum theory together, but it creates its own problems. One thing I was wondering, because they're talking about, somebody talking about 10 dimensions, 11 dimensions. What do they mean, dimensions? Because we have dimensions, length, breadth, width, and time. And we can throw in one more, which is thought. But that's not really a material dimension at all. Well, what's the nature of these other dimensions? Can you imagine what these other dimensions are? What could it possibly be? So I looked it up. And found, I asked this AI thing, what is the nature of the extra dimension? And say they're extremely small. But that means it's within, that means it's spatial. It's not a dimension at all. It's not a separate dimension. If you say it's extremely small, it's within space. So anyway, some people waste their whole, actually they're all wasting all their lives, but without understanding Krishna. But anyway, whatever wonderful things are there, all things wise, all what is that? All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all Mercedes-Benz, Rolls-Royce cars, Rolls-Royce engines for planes, as we're talking about planes, all missiles and rockets and drones and AI, it's all ultimately created by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often said that, didn't he? That he talked about Einstein, great brain. Who created the brain of Einstein? Einstein doesn't believe in God. Well, not as the term is traditionally understood. So, continuing reading from this purport. The credit for creating the airplane should go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the scientists who have invented or created the so-called wonderful products. The first consideration is the intelligence of the scientist. One must be elevated by the dictation of the Supreme Lord, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Amatasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because the Supreme Lord as Supersoul sits within the core of every living entity's heart, the dictation by which one advances in scientific knowledge or creative faculties comes from him. Siddhartha Prabhu wrote an essay on this, called, I think it's called On Inspiration, that many of the great scientific breakthroughs come when someone's thinking and thinking and trying to work it out, and it just, boom, pops in their mind when they're not thinking about it. And he gave the example of the benzene hexagon. They're trying to work out, because they had no idea. They thought that all carbon chains must be straight. Oh, maybe that was something else. But anyway, there's another one. In a dream, someone saw a scorpion. Was it a snake or a scorpion, whatever? Snake with curled back on himself with his tail in his mouth. And then he woke up and thought, oh, that's what it is. That's how the benzene molecule is formed. And there was someone else, he was just getting on the bus, just stepping on the bus, and he had some big mathematical breakthrough or whatever. What's that? What's that called? Matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. From me, it's coming from Krishna. What were you going to say? Eureka, Eureka, yeah, that's Eureka. Who was that? Archimedes. Was something to do with... He's sitting in a bathtub having a bath. That's what most people do in the bathtub. Probably they could think of some other things to do, especially in this wacko age we live at the present time. But he had, what was it? He's something to do with geometry, trigonometry.
Buoyancy. The principle of buoyancy.
He calculated the volume of a crown, golden crown, by submersing it in water.
How much pure gold it had, you know. Gold was in there.
How much gold was in there? It's like Akbar and what's his name? Babar. Birbal, the story of... They were criticizing Akbar. Why are you giving so much importance to this Birbal, his minister? He's just sitting around and he just says a few things and we're all working hard. So Akbar said, okay, see that elephant there? Tell me its weight. How are you going to weigh an elephant? They thought about it, they couldn't do it. Then he asked Birbal, okay. Take him to the river, put him in a boat, see how far it goes down in the water, take him out and put in sacks of wheat or whatever of which the weight is known, 1, 2, 3, 4, and when it goes down to the same level, you know the weight. So, and then said, well, and then the, okay. So, intelligence comes from Krishna. Not only the intelligence, but as Srila Prabhupada continues in this purport, furthermore, the ingredients to manufacture wonderful machines like airplanes are also supplied by the Lord, not by the scientists. That means he's the material cause and the instrumental cause. These are the two main causes in Sankhya philosophy. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvang pravartate. Actually, the Acharyas explain this, that this refers to he's the intelligence behind it and the supplier of the ingredients also. So before the airplane was created, its ingredients already existed, having been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when the manifested creation of the airplane is ruined, the remaining debris is a problem for the so-called creators. Another example is that the West is creating many automobiles. The ingredients for these cars are supplied, of course, by the Supreme Lord, and the intelligence for the so-called creation is also supplied by the Lord. Ultimately, when the cars are demolished, the so-called creators are faced with the problem of what to do with their ingredients. And they're literally piles of wrecked cars, right? Huge, and then they have landfills. That's another problem with all garbage in it. Yeah, they're eagerly finding out lithium. They'd better leave it where it is. It's gonna be a big problem. Also, they're talking about clean energy, right? Solar energy. It's not clean at all. You have to dig all the ingredients for making the solar panels. Out of our wind energy, you have to dig it out, make a factory to manufacture it, and at some point it's going to be debris, and you're going to have huge and to utilize that energy, you're going to have to wires and then all kinds of instruments. So they talk about going green, getting off the grid. Well, Srila Prabhupada's plan wasn't only to get off the grid, but to not make an imitation grid either. Just don't have electricity at all. Here we are using electricity to make this. And to watch it, you have to have electricity. But using a wooden handle to put on the head of an axe to chop down the tree. It's a means to an end. The actual creator, the original creator, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only in the interim does someone create something with intelligence supplied by the Lord, and later the creation again becomes a problem. Therefore, the so-called creator is not to be credited with the act of creation. The only credit goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives another meaning for the name Shashta, following on from the previous name, Devaki Nandan, which means he's the giver of joy to Devaki, and Yashoda, who's also Devaki. And one way he does this, one way Krishna does this, is by being Shrashta. He brings about freedom from obstacles for Yashoda and Devaki. Hare Krishna. That's it. So, Krishna is inspiring intelligence in your mind to ask something, but I'll have to repeat it, is it? Oh, you have a mic. Are you going to ask a question?
No, I just wanted to say something about this inspiration essay that you mentioned.
Yeah.
About. So over there, Sadaput Prabhu, like, he not only just mentions about, getting the inspiration from the soul, but he gives a mathematical proof where he shows that it's not possible for the brain mathematically to have had the Eureka moment, you know. It's impossible for the brain mathematically. So it has to come from the super.
Yeah, but he wrote that 30 years ago. And in the meantime, neuroscience has advanced so much. Although they also say that even though we've discovered so much, it's the same with all these. The more you discover, the more you discover that there's so much more, you didn't even know how much you don't know. But by discovering more, they get some hint of how much more they don't know. They should become a little humble, but they don't.
We can just say that what about all the discoveries we've had so far? And even the discovery of this new chip that they're going to place
in the
brain.
Of course, it doesn't mean that what Sadaputta said is eclipsed by that. Not necessarily. Yeah, it's like a gross example, putting knuckles. What is that? The what do they call that? The brass knuckle duster. Yeah, you get more for your punch. That was a nasty example. Phew. Could have been something better than that. Anyway.
So this tendency to want to create.
Yeah, this tendency to create and show I'm doing something, it really binds us in this material world, doesn't it? To think I'm the creator. Kartaham iti manyate. Ahankara vimurha ma kartaham iti manyate. I'm the doer. I'm the creator. Karta is another, it's almost the same as Shrashta, the doer, the creator. It's a big maya. To want to take the credit instead of giving the credit to Krishna. Not that we shouldn't do anything, we should, but we should give the credit to who it belongs to.
In our farm communities in India, I've observed how you've asked devotees to try to stick as close as possible to what has been done for centuries or millennia. However, in the West, there are problems
with that also. It's just like, you know, it's hard to get the labor for doing. We don't have a varnashram system. Mostly people come and join our farm communities because they're idealistic, and we need people who are not so much idealistic, who just like to do hard work and chant Hare Krishna. So, and there are multiple difficulties to face in setting up the Varnashram system. In the West, yeah, people have no idea.
Everything seems to be a creation and a speculation in one sense, from one generation.
Yeah, living in these cities, just like we're sitting here in what should be a desert or was a desert, and there's a whole big city here, and you just, water comes out of the tap, which comes from the other side of the mountains, isn't it? Which mountains are there? Rockies or... Colorado River,
which is
on the other side of the...
So this is Nevada.
Sierra Nevada, the Grand Canyon. Every time you fly over the Grand Canyon, they tell you, look out of the window, have a look at the Grand Canyon if it's not cloudy. Grand Canyon's great. Good place for book distribution.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say?
So...
This artificial society leads to atheism, because you think, well, you don't see God created everything, we created everything. That's actually, the people living in this area are really stupid. You have all the most intelligent people in the world, or many, not the most, but highly intelligent, making all these software, but they're living on an earthquake zone, and anytime it's just going to collapse everything. Isn't it stupid? could have been anywhere, but they do it here, and it's you have to, so much artificial, you have to bring in water and so many things. It's intelligent one way, but materially even stupid in another way. And everyone's stupid. I mean, everyone in the material world is stupid. What do they all do? They're all miserable. All these IT workers, they're all miserable. When they first come from India, they're, which lasts about, how long does it last? How many hours does it last? This euphoria of thinking everything's wonderful. Everything's great in America. One day, not even one day, yeah. So what were you going to say?
So, I mean, considering the fact that Westerners have this, not just this generation, but pretty much practically in all generations, the tendency to invent, because there's no real tradition, you know, it's kind of there, but it's not...
Well, they did have something of a tradition, but it broke down with the breakdown of religion, because religion... and tradition very much interconnected. And there were people had their place in society.
Depends what society is. It's very...
No, they had. They had the working class, and then with the coming of the Industrial Revolution, and it required a middle class also to do lots of administrative work. Otherwise, it's a big topic. So there was in France, that was torn down by the French Revolution, the three estates. There was the nobility, the clergy, that's the aristocracy, and the plebs, just the working people. There was no intercaste marriage. The someone from an uneducated, uncultured background, they couldn't marry a... There's no question of them marrying the member of the aristocracy. The member of the aristocracy might have so many of them working on his estate and pull out someone's wife and use them. But there's no question of marrying them. So there's always some division, is there? But it was pretty stable. They talk about what are we talking about? We had the Industrial Revolution, and then they talked about technological, and then space age. Now we're in the computer age, and this and that. But before that, for a long time, there was what they call the Dark Ages. And then the Middle Ages is the beginning of the Age of Enlightenment. There was a little change. But the change is more and more rapid. Otherwise, in Europe, it was a fairly stable society because there weren't so many inventions, hardly any inventions. And the life went on pretty much the same way, generation after generation. There may be political upheavals. That was going on all the time. One king is fighting with another king. There were some things. The Spanish invented the very big ships for fighting ships. That was supposed to be a big breakthrough. But then they came in to attack England, and there was a storm, and they all got blown away. I wasn't taught that at school. We were taught that Sir Francis Drake defeated them all. But later on, we learned the real history is that there was a big storm and they all got blown away and scattered away here and there. Political upheavals. There was a lot of religious ferment. People need something to fight about, right? So fighting over religion, one crusade after another. March off to the Holy Land. Otherwise, the general pattern of... Oh, another major what was causing social change in Europe was disease. Plague. There was the Black Plague. And then after World War I, they had Asian flu, which wiped out more people than were killed in 1 year. It wiped out more people than in the whole of the First World, than were killed in the whole First World War. That was international. So these things are going on. Otherwise, societies were stable in many ways. The culture, the traditions, the beliefs. We take it as normal that things are just changing all the time, but it wasn't like that previously.
Maharaj, in this lecture you gave Mantra Drashta, revealer of scripture, and you're making this point that all this knowledge is already there, and the rishis see this and they write it down. So in
regards, they speak it.
Yeah, they speak it. Yeah, later they speak it.
It's not supposed to be written down. Now it's written down. Vedas are not supposed to be. They're supposed to be conveyed by word only, aren't they? Shruti is not meant for widespread dissemination.
So Guru Maharaj, so what about all this tamagun, this knowledge of creating?
Yeah, and Srila Prabhupada writes about that. Every Kali Yuga is similar. It won't be exactly the same. This technology, it's just a manifestation of the mode of passion with a large admixture of the mode of ignorance.
So this knowledge is also emanating from...
And the really, that yatadagre... what is it? What's that? What is it? Vishendriya samyogam yatadagre mritopamam pariname vishameva yatatsukam... Rajasam Smritam. That's really the motto for the whole of this civilization. It looks good in the beginning. It's mode of passion. Create, do something new, do something different. Mode of passion. It looks good in the beginning, but it all turns to poison. And practically literally, the air is full of poison. The water is full of poison. The minds are full of poison. The seas are full of poison. Everything is full of poison. I was just reading something written by a devotee. Where was that? That we have to give credit for science. Science has given us clean water. They said among the things, I said, what do you mean? They made it dirty in the first place. Great scientific breakthrough. We've got, now we're giving you clean water. Of course, much water is not so clean if you just take it from the earth or the river, and then you just filter it and boil it, and then that's it. Filter it, boil it, take leave the residue and take it. That's all. So not all water is just in nature is potable, but a little simple fix you can use. But there's nothing like having lead and what are these forever chemicals in everywhere in the water. No such thing.
So what? So this knowledge, this tamogun knowledge, also comes from the breath of the Purusha.
Everything. Sada sach chaham Arjuna. Everything comes from me, Krishna says. Good things, bad things, everything comes from me. Sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything comes from me. Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpadarubhyas charkibhasindubhyavichapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.